Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So I'm going to share something briefly with you this evening. I said in a couple of weeks ago at a service that I would talk to you about the gifts of the Spirit. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of lay a foundation, and we're going to build a series on Saturday nights for the next couple of weeks. Amen. And because I really believe God's going to minister to many people through this. I think a lot of times when it comes to the gifts, we kind of also have an idea of what we think it is, and then we limit it. And then there are people that limit it a lot because they don't even believe in it, which we'll debunk tonight. Amen. So, you know, I want you to know that I think when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, I think we need to realize what they are. They're gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is very involved. And it's very important for us to understand something. There's a truth we must grasp, that when we were sinners, Jesus was a gift to us because he gave his life for us. Amen. And he will always, ever be present, because grace will be coming from him all the time towards us because of what he's done. And he makes intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the Father. So he's directly involved with us the whole time. But he also gave a gift. The Father gave a gift to believers, to Christians. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. He is a gift within himself to you and I. In fact, he was a promise that was made long, long time ago. And so that gift has been promised to you and I. And he does so much. He's your best friend. He lives inside you. He changes you from the inside out. But he also does something else. He empowers you. Now let's go to Acts 1 verse number 8. You know the scripture well. I quote it very often. But it's important that we look at this verse. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is part of the commission that was given to the apostles, to the church, to you and I. This is the commission that was given, that we are supposed to be witnesses. We are supposed to be disciples. We are go into the world and make disciples. That's us. Amen. And it's very, very exciting to be a part of that commission. What's important for us to understand here is that this commission was given, and it was given with a restriction. The restriction was that we should wait until we are empowered with the Holy Spirit. I've taught you that the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, and then later they had this experience where the Holy Spirit empowered them. So I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is given to you to change you from the inside out and to have relationship with you. But he's also given to you, he comes upon you so that you can be empowered. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So when we look at the gifts in just a moment, I want you to understand that the gifts that he gives you are not normal. They are supernatural. You know, many people, we talk about gifts and then they start talking about hospitality and they start talking about mercy, and all of these things are gifts. But when it comes to the gifts I'm about to share with you, these are the gifts that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power, and that power will manifest, and you'll see that word used when we look at the gifts today, they will manifest in your life. Power will be released in 9 different ways. The Holy Spirit manifests himself through the life of a believer in 9 different ways. For what? To touch somebody else's life. Maybe you haven't realized by now, but you were saved for far more than just you. Amen. So that's why there's 2 expressions, within for you and upon for others. And what's so exciting is that those that go on the journey of seeking after what he has for them, for others, will find, they will hear his voice, they will see things and learn things that will go far beyond what they could ever have experienced only with within. You'll find that even in the Old Testament, those that seeked the will of God were the ones that God would pour his Spirit out over. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was upon him, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Those were the guys that God used powerfully. the good news is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon each and every one of us if we desire it. Now, I've taught you a lot of this stuff, so I don't want to go too much into it. There's a lot of teachings on the Holy Spirit upon the baptism of the Spirit. But the truth is this, is the gifts of the Spirit, they start at the baptism of the Spirit. You have to receive power. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, wait, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. You must wait for the Holy Spirit to empower you. Yes, disciples, you have the Holy Spirit. I blew on you. I gave you the Holy Spirit. But you first have to wait for Him to come upon you. Then I can imagine, now this is just me now, Jesus had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon Him. The Spirit descended upon Him like a dove. And then when He came out of the water, the Bible says that the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, He was tempted. And he started what He was created for right at that moment. Can I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's when you will begin to discover why you were born. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will begin to discover your purpose, the reason why you're here. When He's inside you, He changes your character. He changes your nature. The Word begins to transform you. It's like a mirror. As you look into it, you become more like Him because the Word begins to change you. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's so that you can minister Him to somebody else, so that He can use you to touch other lives. That's the way that God set it up. God said to man, I make you in my image and I'm going to give you dominion on the earth. So God has restored us to Himself. Now He wants to use you and I. He wants to empower you and I with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to have this power. We have to have this experience. Man, I remember when I was younger, when I had this experience the first time, I was like, I didn't know what was going on. It's like I thought to myself, why was I a Christian for so many years and I didn't know about this? Why is it that all of a sudden it all looks so real? It's like that same stuff that was going on there happened in church last night. Demons were screaming out of people. People were getting touched and delivered. Well, you know, the church in America, you know, it's really bad. Rubbish, man. It's time for the church to rise up like never before. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you a secret. This is a secret. Next year, the focus will shift off America. The focus is on America. The eyes of the world are on this nation. But next year, the eyes of the world will move to the Middle East. Watch. Watch. As God begins to shift things around, we are moving into the season, the time of the Gentiles. You will see God pour out His Spirit on the nations of this world like never before. But let me tell you something. It's going to require a people that have been endued with power, because we cannot minister. I'll teach you tonight. You cannot tell me that you have love and you don't want the gifts. It doesn't work. I'll show you. Okay, let me move on. Are you okay? Let's get to it. Let's get right to it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4. Now, what I will do with you guys is one Saturday night, I'll do it on a Saturday night, I will teach the whole of 12, 13, and 14, word for word. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. It may take 2 weeks, but I'll do my best to do it in one night. I've done it once before in one teaching. And I'll show you, because you need to understand, in order to fully grasp what Paul is trying to teach the church, you need to read the whole thing in context. What happens is they'll go and they'll take pieces of it where Paul's trying to bring a balance, and then they'll look at it and say, oh, you see, the gifts are not for today. Oh, you see, tongues only needs interpretation. All kinds of rubbish, okay? They take it out of context. The truth is you have to read the whole thing in context to get the full understanding. Now, I'll put you in the picture a little bit this evening because it's important that we understand what Paul is trying to say. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4. Now, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. If you're new and this is new to you, just relax and know that this is something that God wants to give every believer so that he can use them, so that he can manifest himself. The one thing we need to grasp about God is that he is good, guys. He is loving and he is merciful and he is kind. And, you know, the fruit of the Spirit describes the nature of God. That's how he is, because it's the fruit of who? The Spirit. Who is the Spirit? He is God. You need to understand that. So it's the very character and nature of who God is. So when God wants to manifest himself this way, it's because he wants to show you who he is, and he does it because of his love for us. All right. Now, verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. And now he shifts to focus on one area. And look at how he starts. First of all, in verse number 4, we understand he's talking about different gifts, diversities of gifts. You need to understand that gifts is the word charisma in the Greek, which basically, actually, the root word is charis, which is grace. So every gift that you have, even your abilities like the worship team that are very talented, that's grace that's been given to them to have a nice voice, to be able to play an instrument. That's a gift. Is that okay? You can have a gift. Some people are very gifted at sports. And then God will give you certain gifts to help the ministry. Okay? But we're not talking about normal gifts here. These gifts are different because something changes in their expression. Watch. Remember, I can do something, even if I preach, if I'm a good teacher, it's great, I have an ability to teach well. But the gifts of the Spirit, which we're about to reveal, are more than that. Verse number 7 says, but the manifestations, everybody say manifestation. Okay, let me read it and we'll break it down. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Let's just stop there for a minute. The word "the" there should actually be "a" in the Greek. Because if you have a look at the way the language is, it actually makes more sense. It shouldn't be "the word," it should be "a word." Because how many of you know, if you really study it, even if you go study the original language, you'll find that I'm telling you the truth. So go do that if you want. But you must understand that when God reveals himself in a gift, it's normally sudden. It's powerful. It's just suddenly. So we'll be worshiping and then, you know, all of a sudden a word of wisdom is released or a word of knowledge is released. So we don't get the whole thing. We get a part, which is a word. Is that okay? All right. Somebody wanted that. That's okay. The rest of us, we don't really need that. That's okay. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I want you to look at that list, which we'll break down in a minute. 9 gifts. Every single one of these gifts are supernatural. They are not normal. So in other words, if I had to say to you, the gift of a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, this is not something you can learn in college. This is something supernatural. This is something that comes to you by the Spirit. Okay, and I'll give you a brief definition in just a moment of what the difference between a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom is. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, understand, he's just said there's different activities. There's different ministries. There's different gifts, diversities of gifts. He says, then he breaks it down. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, in other words, a supernatural, this is not normal. It's basically the word manifestation in the Greek is the word phanerosis, and it basically means to announce, to reveal, or to make known. To make known what? To reveal who? To reveal Him. To reveal God. To reveal the Spirit. So in order for you to be able to show someone, to reveal God's nature, His character, the way that He is. You see, we think that when we talk about, that's why I just love God, man. You know, that's why there's 9 fruit and 9 gifts. You know, that didn't happen by mistake. There's a reason for it. Because they work together. They work together in the life of a minister, and they work together in the life of every single believer. But you have to understand that the gifts also describe who God is. If you look in the Old Testament, who is God? God is Jehovah Rapha. What does that mean? That means He is Rapha, which is the healer. He's the God who heals. Does that describe His nature? You better believe it does. Because He's the one who heals you. He's the Lord of hosts. Are you with me? Every name of God describes who He is. The Holy Spirit, when Jesus was on earth, Jesus would manifest God all the time. Because He had the Spirit without measure. So He could manifest God as if He was God. Are you with me? But when we manifest the gifts of the Spirit, or we manifest the Holy Spirit, He does it in part to manifest Himself, to announce Himself, to reveal Himself. Are you with me, guys? So God will basically, through you, give you a gift, or rather a manifestation of who He is through your life, so that you can touch somebody's life. I could preach all day long, and it's great, and it has the ability to do something to you. But I can tell you right now, if I walk up to you and read your mail and tell you what happened yesterday to your sister and your cousin and your uncle, and God wants you to know that everything's going to be okay and He's got you in the palm of His hand, I can tell you now, He's going to get your attention. I have been amazed. Naomi and I in our journey have been amazed at how many times, and God definitely likes her more than me. I don't really understand why. But every time we go to a conference, she will literally ask God something, and the person who prays for her will answer the question by quoting her question first. What is that? It's a word of knowledge. They know something by the Spirit. Why would God do that for you? Because He wants to reveal Himself to you. So the gifts of the Spirit are there so that God can reveal who He is to you. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, that reveals His nature, and that begins to change you. But both the gifts and the fruit, very, very much, both are meant to reveal who He is to you. Is that okay, guys? All right. Are you excited? Is somebody excited? I want you to understand that most other gifts that we see in the Bible, I'm not saying all, I'm saying most, or most gifts that we get, most grace gifts, charisma or charis that we get given, do not do this the way that these do. They are very, very special. They really are. When the Holy Spirit moves upon a person, and then through that person, He ministers to somebody else, any one of those 9 gifts, it is very powerful and life-changing. I want you to understand, for example, Let's just take a look real quick. Let's break down the gifts in 3 different categories. Is that okay? Now, this is basic, so I want to cover it really fast. There are 3 categories of gifts that we look at when we look at the gifts of the Spirit. The revelatory gifts or revelation gifts. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. In other words, they bring revelation. They reveal something. They reveal something to you, normally about your life. So for example, if I'm the person that's busy praying and I have the gift of discerning of spirits, note, it's not discernment. It's discerning of spirits, which means that when I'm praying, I can see something that's happened. For example, I'm praying and all of a sudden I feel like there's a demon that's been attacking you. And I discern that spirit and I can pray against that thing. Are you with me? That's what the discerning of spirits does. A word of knowledge gives me knowledge about something. And oftentimes you'll find that knowledge, a word of knowledge, I don't want to break them down. We'll do this really next week. But just briefly, knowledge, where knowledge and wisdom are different, is knowledge is you have knowledge about something going on or happened. Generally, it's past. So, you know, you were in your shower and you said to the Lord, that's a word of knowledge. Are you with me? Whereas a word of wisdom is, you know, you've asked God, what must I do about this? And it kind of talks about something that hasn't always necessarily happened, or it's just wisdom about something you need for a business deal or whatever. God has wisdom for you that is beyond what you can do in your own ability. Is that okay? You need an answer. You need wisdom to do something. He will give you an answer through a word of wisdom. That's how a word of wisdom works. Then we get the vocal gifts, different types of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. These gifts are very, very, obviously they're vocal. They're gifts where we speak all the time. And I don't want to get into tongues and interpretation of tongues too much tonight, because I could probably spend a whole night on that, just on itself. But what I do want to say is that you'll see that they're very vocal. Prophecy is one of the gifts that is described in Scripture as one of those that we should desire the most. Why? Because God wants to edify His body. He wants to edify the church. He wants you to leave here changed. So that's why prophecy, He says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Because prophecy is awesome. And did you know that you can prophesy? Every one of you can prophesy. I guarantee you, you can. Why? Because the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Who's the spirit of prophecy? The Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? He lives in you. So if He decides He wants to share something with you, He's going to do it. You just have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to hear what He has to say. Are you with me? Then we have power gifts, which are faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. Now that faith is not the normal faith that we have. We all have a measure of faith. But I know what it's like when you're in a service or God's using you in a situation and all of a sudden you just know that something's about to happen. And so oftentimes faith will couple itself with another gift. For example, faith will couple itself with healings, or faith will couple itself with miracles, working of miracles. And that's important. We'll talk about that. Why does it say working of miracles? Because you're involved. So faith comes and miracles often happen. Prophecy. I know what it's like to be prophesying and the gift of faith comes on me where I can prophesy healing. Because faith has gone up. And when I prophesy, I don't think the person's going to get healed. I know. So I speak a word and I don't even know they're sick. And I'll speak a word over them that God's going to heal you in your body. And I know they're going to get healed, and they get healed. That's what happens when the gifts begin to work in your life. So they work oftentimes together. Is that okay? All right. Now, okay. I want to just show you something really quick. I think you need to know this. So I'm going to quickly do this. There is another gift set in the Bible that I want you to see, because I want you to understand that this gift set and the one I've just shared with you, the manifestations, the gifts of the Spirit, they are not the same. They are different. And many times people assume, because they see someone operate with the gift of prophecy, that now they're a prophet. And that's not so. You're only a prophet if God says so. Is that okay? You can't be a prophet if you have the gift of prophecy. And I'll prove to you that some people have a gift and some people don't. But we all have the Holy Spirit. So guess what? You may not be someone that operates often with the gift of prophecy, but if God wants to use you to prophesy, He's going to do it because the Holy Spirit lives in you and He can and He will if you make yourself available. Don't be one of those people, well, you know, I don't have the gift of prophecy. You know, and God's like busy showing you stuff about the dude. And you're going, no, that's Pastor William's gift. It's not mine. And some people even go as far as to say it's prideful to say that you have a gift. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'll prove that, okay? Now, there are also ministries that God gives certain individuals. Ephesians 4:11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. I'm going to go very briefly into this, but I want you to see it. There are five ministries that are given to the church. I want you to see that. They are given to the church. How do we know that? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, He Himself gave. Who's He Himself? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you study it in context, you'll see. Jesus is the one who gives these gifts. Who does He give them to? To the church. What's the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry gifts? A ministry gift is not given to someone like that, like a gift of the Spirit that comes upon someone and then it's used. A ministry is a gift. So an apostle or a prophet or a pastor is a gift to a church. He doesn't get a gift. He is the gift. Are you with me? Let me prove it to you. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists. Put the next verse on for me. For the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So why are they given? They are given as gifts to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. They are different. Whereas the gifts of the Spirit, they are sudden. Listen, you don't even have to be, you don't even have to be perfect. Like you can not even be that good. Like, you know, if you surrender your heart to Him, you may not be, even your character may not be fully developed yet, but God can give you a gift because He wants to use you. He wants to give you a taste of what He can do through your life. That's the beautiful thing about the gifts of the Spirit. They are sudden. They are spontaneous. They are beautiful in their expression. And they are for every single believer. You just may develop one more than the other because He'll give you a specific gift. Whereas the ministries are a gift themselves to the church to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. Now, some say fruit only. Some say we don't need the gifts. We only need the fruit. And the reason why they say this is because of 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Let's go there real quick. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, men, Paul was something else, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So in other words, based on that scripture, they say, and it goes on to describe a better way, which is love, okay? But based on that scripture, they will say to you, well, you see, we don't need the gifts. The better way is love, not the gifts. Well, I have a problem with that. Because you see, we first need to read the last verse of chapter number 12. So let's put it into context and read the whole thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:31. Are you with me? Are you getting it? I'm not losing anybody. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 31. Look how he ends the chapter. He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. He finishes the chapter, he finishes this portion of scripture. Now you must remember back in the day, there were no chapters, it was just one sentence. So he's saying, earnestly desire. So he's not going to say, listen, I want you to desire the best gifts, and then the next sentence say, listen, but actually don't do that because you just need love. That, you know, I just don't think Paul was, you know, that way, you know? Are you with me? There's no way. There was nothing wrong with Paul. His mind was fine. He knew exactly what he was writing. He was trying to show you something. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What does that mean? That means, listen, you, when you begin to see how God can use you and move through your life, you will begin to desire the gifts of the Spirit and the way that God moves. But I want to tell you, there's a better way. There's a better way that He'll begin to use you. There's a better way that He'll begin to pour His Spirit out on you. There's a better way to draw the power of God to your life. And the way that we do that, verse number 13, is though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profit me nothing. All he's trying to say is, listen, don't want to get so filled with the things of God and the things of the Spirit for your own benefit, so that you can be glorified for your own glory. Listen, he says, I want you to pursue it. I want you to pursue these gifts. But now he's bringing the balance. And the balance says, but listen, there's a better way to do it. Focus your attention on loving people. Focus your attention on loving the Lord your God with all your heart. And then you will begin to see. Because even though you've got the gift of prophecy, even though you can prophesy, even though you can speak with tongues of men and tongues of angels, if you don't have this love in you, if it's not for the right reason, there is no benefit. That's all he's saying. He's not saying, chuck it out. In fact, he's saying, I want you to go after it. But I want your motivation to be right. When I was a young Christian, I would pray for hours, and I would ask for everything really quick, really short, and I would pray for the gifts for a very long time. True story. I would, you know, when the Bible says, we'll get there, desire spiritual gifts. When the Bible said desire, and I began to understand what it means, it basically means to like hunt, to pursue. It's like when someone's hunting a deer. And they're going after it with stalking it, passionately going after it. That's what that word means in the original language. That's the language, the strength of the language. I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And I knew I loved God more than anybody else. I knew that. There was no question about that. Because I was so passionate about God. I couldn't be in a worship service without crying my eyes out. Pastor Harold said to me on the phone, I spoke to him on Thursday, he said to me, Alex, I remember you being in the front of the church, passionately crying for God to use you. But I had one problem. As much as I loved God, and I was desiring the gifts, there was definitely a little bit too much of me there. And so I began to see God use me very powerfully. Discerning of spirits, and man, I saw stuff. I couldn't go to a youth service without casting out a demon. There would be lines of people. I would go up to the one with the devil every time. And then, many years later, I took a break from ministry, and God took me into the wilderness. And while I was in the wilderness, the Bible says, I took you into the wilderness to see what was in your heart. And then I began to understand what this is really all about. This thing we call Christianity. And that's why Jesus said that the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he has this uncanny way of jumping in there and saying, but there's another thing. The second, and he says this word, which is just too much, is like it, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. You cannot tell me that you have love for your neighbor, if you don't want to give them all of God, you don't want to give them everything you have for them, listen to me. The gifts excluded and only the fruit oftentimes doesn't produce anything if you're pursuing the fruit only. If you're pursuing both, it's basically like the doing part. Faith without works is dead faith. That has nothing to do with your salvation. That has to do with the working of your ministry. Oh, but you know, we have under grace. We don't have to work. Oh, shut up, you devil. That's what you are. You're a devil. That's a demon of doctrines. That's what that is. Or a doctrine of demons. That sounds better, right? But here's the good news. Is that what it requires is that to be able to get to that point where you're pursuing love, you're pursuing God with everything inside you. And then when you begin to do, it's not really work because He just does it through you. But if I want to see someone's life change, listen, I can preach 100 sermons. But the Bible has this beautiful statement that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. In other words, if it's not alive, if it's not life-changing, if it doesn't bring revelation, if it doesn't move, if it doesn't begin to impact you, if it's just words, there will be no life. That's why you can't live on the old only. You have to hear from God all the time. So if I love you, I want to hear from God for you. I want to be used by God for you. That's why the Bible says that the manifestations of the Spirit are given to each one for the profit of all. So that answers a question for us. Why do we have gifts? Man, I haven't even started and it's already so late. I'm like skipping stuff. The manifestation of the Spirit are given to each one for the profit of all. So that's one of the reasons. They are given so that all men can grow closer to God. Why? Oh, I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Come on, somebody say, God is good. Man, God is good. All right. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons, hallelujah, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. We've been created, and He's predestined us with gifts and spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everything you need is already available to you for one reason, so that you can do all of this and you're adopted as His son for His good pleasure, so that you can fulfill His plan, so that you can fulfill His will. Ultimately, what will begin to happen is this, is in verse number 6, it says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Oh, to give Him glory. To give Him glory. Every bit of grace that He shows you is to bring Him glory. Whether it's salvation grace, whether it's a gift of grace, whether it's a manifestation of His Spirit, ultimately it all goes back to Him. It brings Him glory. Oh, and let me tell you something. The devil can't stand it when you give God glory. The devil can't stand it when you give Him glory. The devil can't stand it when your life gets used as an instrument for the glory of God. Oh, the devil hates it. He can't stand it. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here tonight that says, my life's going to give Him some glory? All right. The gifts are given for His glory. I want you to know, man, I need to break it down so much more. I will do it with you next week. I want to minister a little bit. But let me just finish with these three verses. First Peter 4, verse number 10 says, as each one has received the gift, look at this. First of all, the word each in the Greek means each or every. So it means all of you. I want you to know that if you're pursuing God, there are gifts that are waiting. Some of them have already been unlocked on your life, and some of them will still be unlocked on your life, but they are there. He says, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's the word grace again. Understand that when He's sharing with you about the grace of God, it's because even the gift reveals the grace of God, which ultimately reveals who God is. Are you okay? I hope you didn't fall. You didn't fall. Okay. I hope it's glory and it's not, you didn't fall asleep. Okay. All right. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 14. This was serious. When it came to the gifts, it was a serious thing to Paul. So he says to Timothy, who's his spiritual son, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the eldership. In 2 Timothy 1, verse number 6, and this is why I want to end this evening with this scripture. And the reason why I need to do this tonight is because I know there are people in this place where there was a time where you were pursuing these things, and then you just kind of like, not anymore. Or you got stuck in a place where this just wasn't happening anymore. So what was there before has kind of like just not operating anymore, or you've kind of lost that hunger for it. And again, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy verse, chapter 1, verse number 6, therefore, and I want you to take this as though God is speaking to you, because this is the word of the Lord to you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. This is the second time he tells him this. But he includes the word stir up. And the word stir up in the Greek is so powerful. Because the word stir up in the Greek, it's a verb, number one. And what it really means is it means this. This is literally the definition. It means to rekindle. Rekindle. Rekindle the gift that He's placed on the inside of you. That means you have to, it needs to get aflame again. It needs to come alive again. That is placed on the inside of you, it needs to just come back to life. Are you with me, guys? Listen, we haven't really even scratched the surface. I'm not joking. You can ask them in the back. They've got lots of scriptures. But we cannot be a church that doesn't display God the way that He really is. He would never have given gifts for them to just end in an age 2,000 years ago. He gave those gifts so that throughout the age, man would still see God move just the way He did through Jesus and His disciples. And He's continuing to do it now. Listen to me. Don't doubt it. The Bible says that the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. The mind doesn't grasp it. So I'll say something like miracles like in the days of Jesus, and people will go, no. And that's why Jesus, when they tried to cast the demon out of the paralytic child, He gets up. And He begins to prophesy to all the cities where He did miracles. And then He speaks to a spirit. And that spirit is unbelief. We have to move beyond our unbelief. Go beyond the natural understanding, the natural mind. The Bible says that we should become the other man. The other man. The one that God has called you to be. The one that believes he can fly. Because he believes that nothing is impossible with God. Even when Jesus would go and spend time in prayer, he would come down and he would do the wildest stuff after he'd been in the presence of God, like walk on the water. If you desire to rekindle the gifts, I want you to know those gifts are for all of you. I haven't even spoken about them. We haven't actually even gotten into the gifts. But I want to make you hungry for it, guys. I want you to desire it again. I want you to have a passion for it. Listen, God, last week, you know, he gave us fire. Fire for what? So that we can move into what God's called us to do. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.